Samuel 7:18. If you're physically able, stand with me. Draw the reading of God's holy word. 2 Samuel. Chapter 7, verse 17. Or 18, excuse me. 7:18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the manner of man, O Lord God. And what can God say, and what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, and there is any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears." Dear God, so thankful. Then your word, Lord, you're described as being our Heavenly Father, that perfect Father, that Father that we can look to and that will never leave us and forsake us, that we can focus on, dear God. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you might take over, that your Spirit, Lord, might anoint my voice. Lord, that I might say every word that you intend to be said, Lord, and I'd say not one single word you intend not to. That, Lord, you would open our minds and our hearts together. Lord, that we might, Lord, hear from you this morning, not hear from me. Lord, that you might help us, Lord, to focus on your message, to focus on your word this morning, to, Lord, gaze upon your plans, Lord, what it is that you want to touch in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would bring conviction to any unconfessed sin in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would bring comfort to a hurting heart this morning. And Lord, that we might this morning, Lord, be revived, be renewed, and prepared to go out into the midst of a lost and dying world, Lord. And Lord, I pray you would touch now as only you can. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we began back on Father's Day weekend with kind of continuing our focus on our relationship with God. That relationship, remember, I keep asking the question, are you experiencing the relationship that God wants to have with you? It excites me to know from His Word and be able to understand that He has a planned relationship, that a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, there's things that will be common, that will be very specific in the Word that we can count on, that we can experience. Then it's Jeremiah, God uses him to describe that he has plans for us, plans that he wants to prosper us. So specific plans that he has for my life and your life and our family and our church and everything we do. It excites me to think about that and to know that, so that being the case, that we need to focus on that relationship, that we need to focus on our Father. And we began looking at several things over the last few Sundays. And just, if you weren't here, maybe you've forgotten, just a little reminder. We began thinking about how if we don't really narrow our focus on His Word, man, the distractions are many. Amen, the distractions are many. And oftentimes a parent will tell me there'll be a crying baby or a child or something happens, and after church a parent will say, "Preacher, I'm so sorry that my child interrupted you and bothered you." And I'm like, I've done this long enough, I usually don't notice it. I can't say, "Ma'am, I'm not here." It doesn't do a thing. I don't mind it. I could even laugh. I probably shouldn't laugh, but bless little Gunner's heart. You know, that was bothering Mama a whole lot worse than it was bothering us. We were enjoying Gunner just being Gunner, being a little child. It reminds me, though, of where I lose focus. It is so easy to lose focus on in our lives to the Father, and that all began in childhood. Miss Lord, I can remember it was in Fairfield Baptist Church. It was in the set of pews right like this side of the wheel. It was right here. I was sitting right here, and one of my good friends was sitting right here. It was on, I think, a Sunday evening, and we were watching some kind of video. Something was on. The church was dark. I just remember as I got ready to tell this story that I always would tell this story. I can still remember the jacket that my father was wearing. I still remember. In fact, I've got that jacket now. And during that time, I don't even know that I was doing anything wrong, but obviously I had lost focus and we were being disrupted. My dad came from where he was sitting. He came right here and got a hold of me and took me outside. Not good. Not good. That's like a story of the little boy one time in church. He just kept going. The little boy happened to be the preacher's son. And the preacher just stopped preaching. And Hilton, I never had to do this with Hilton. But the preacher grabbed him and started to carry him out the back door. And as he was carrying him back out, the little boy was saying, "Church, pray, pray, pray. Because it's going to be bad, bad, bad." So we all, every one of us can probably remember some time where we've lost focus. And as a child, as a young adult, even today as an adult, we've lost focus on what's important, lost focus at church or work, lost focus in marriage or just a relationship. And there's always consequences, amen? And God loves us and God will sustain us and God carries through. But Tammy, it doesn't take away the consequences, amen? So we all deal with consequences. I had something on my mind. I remember I could hear my mama years ago saying, "Boy, if you just do this every year when you got to be old enough to retire, then you'd have this happen." And I didn't do it. I didn't do what she had suggested. So this weekend I was thinking, man, gosh, how I wish I had done that. How I wish I had focused on those words of wisdom that mama gave me and had a difference. And I was kind of getting really a little down about it. And I said, "Well, God, do help me maybe teach my children. Amen. Help them." So it's all about focus. And that's what David finds here. And the greatest thing I think I love and why God's kind of holding us in this story here is that David has just been told no by God and how he's responding and praying and acting. And I say every Sunday, I don't respond well to no. I don't know many of us that respond well to no. Amen? But what we find is, it wasn't that David is something he wanted to do on his own, that he had in mind he wanted to selfishly do or whatever. It wasn't that. It wasn't something that he wanted to do, that was wrong. He wanted to do something that he in his mind thought was a great thing. He wanted to build a temple for God, and God told him no. So I think that's the power in this, that we're looking at someone that God has said, "No, not your way. No, no, not what you're focused on and not what you want to do, but what my plan is." And isn't that powerful? So that's what God throughout his word keeps telling us. David, he keeps telling me and you, stop focusing on all those things that raise their head up and seem to want to require our focus and attention, but continually be turning back and turning back to him. As we looked at that, we looked at several things. One, we looked at here as how David was focusing on what the Lord wanted instead of just focusing on that no word. We say how David was focused on his relationship and David focused on prayer. This really is a prayer. And last Sunday, we talked about how David had focused on the right questions, that question of, who am I, Lord, and who is my house? And we looked at those scriptures about God, search me and really tell me where I am with you at any moment in time. But this morning, look with me, and I want us to focus really just on verses 20 and 21. If you look at verses 20 and 21, let's just read them again together. The Bible says, "And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them." That's a couple of power-packed verses there. Look with me in verse 20. David makes a statement there. He says, "What can I say more to the Lord?" Now think about that for a moment. So David is praying. He's talking to God. And God has overwhelmed him. He's got David's attention through that no, through his circumstances. And all of a sudden, David just pauses and he says, "Lord, what more can I say? Lord, what words can I add? What in the world could I say?" And oftentimes, that's not the case in our lives, right? We don't get that overwhelming sense of God's presence. And it can be in really, and too often, it's in really troubled times. Something happens. There's a loss of health or a loss of life, a death. There's some things that go on. There's trouble in our homes or trouble at work or financial trouble or just spiritual trouble or emotional trouble. And we begin to really think we don't have the words. Have you ever not even really known how to pray? Dickie, you know what I'm talking about? Just, I'm not sure how to pray, what to do. And so that's kind of where David finds himself. He's at this humble point for God, and all of a sudden he responds and he says, "What can I say more to the Lord?" Look with me in Proverbs 10. I want you to see this verse. This is a verse that I think, boy, I need, we need, our world needs this verse more. And so David's made this statement, "What more can I say?" So Proverbs 10, look in verse 19. In the book of wisdom in Proverbs, the Bible says, listen, read it with me. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Can I get an amen? How often the Bible? So the Bible is saying, when a lot of words are coming, when a lot of words are being poured out, God is promising that in that type scenario, wherever you may be, there's going to be sin involved. Amen? And we all get carried away. We get carried away because we're angry. We get carried away because we're excited. We get carried away about good things, bad things, what's going on. And all of a sudden, the words really start rolling. Amen? And so David has arrived at the point that he understands what Proverbs is talking about. He's saying, I just don't have really more words, Lord. I don't have a multitude of words. So one protection in that, hey, sometimes we can be protected and kind of correct in our own selves if we'll just close our mouths, amen, that we'll just quit letting the words flow. I have a good friend. I love him to death. I would do anything for him. I think he'd do the same. I mean, just a lot of great things about him. I don't see him very often, but there's something I always remember about him, and he can out-talk me. And some of you are saying, oh, my goodness. But he can out-talk me. But at times with our friends, if we'll slow down long enough and have a David moment sometimes. Now, see, oftentimes while we don't have these David moments and while we don't arrive to the point of talking and moving forward in life too much, is that we don't slow down and get overwhelmed by the greatness that it mentions in these same verses we read. So I can remember I'd slow down, and I really had a burden. You ever get a burden for a friend? You know, somebody that you really love and care about. Don't have to be family, maybe a coworker, but just really I was burdened about him. And I really was praying, and I said, God, give me opportunity. I'd like to really just share kind of what's on my heart. He was really straying away from church and straying away from the Lord, weren't really walking like he had at one time. And I was burdened about it, but that's hard with friends, amen? That's hard to do with friends. So I remember just praying, and God, you know, and let me heed this verse, because in any time that we begin oftentimes to speak in that situation, we'll have too many words, Mike. I mean, we'll have a multitude of words, and sin can get in. I don't want to disrupt. And I'm in the flesh. I don't want the friendship damaged, Tony. Amen. But I never forget. So I'm riding down the road. I think I'm heading up to Winston-Salem, going to Baptist Hospital. He's riding down the road. We talk on the phone to Elliot. And I'm like, this is the time, Miss Mark. This is God's time. And so I was going to try to talk to him. He would not shut up, Marty. He was talking, and I loved to listen to him talk. He would talk and talk and talk. He kept talking. I'd try to get a word edgewise in, and he would talk. He just would not be quiet. And finally I started to call his name. I said, listen, will you please just be quiet? Will you please just quit talking long enough that I might be able to share with you something that I really think is important? He's like, okay. I think he might have listened 45 seconds. And that's years ago, and last time I saw him, I met him at lunch, and I saw him, he was the same thing, just constantly going. So I tell you that story to let you understand that that's you and I sometimes, amen? And you may not even be that talkative a person, but how many of you could say that in your mind, I mean, it's just rolling. I mean, the words are rolling. There's just so much going on. There's so much is filling our minds that's going on, and we don't slow down. I was reminded even recently, I'm like, good gracious, how many years have I lived my life just going and going here and there, go to bed, get up, keep going, and all the things that transpire and all that's happened. So what David's example here is this. And if I had to title this message, I would title it this. David focused on the Lord's word. Look there in verse, if you went back in Samuel, let's go back to Samuel. In verse 22, verse 21, it says, for thy word's sake. So David focused on the Lord's word. That's kind of basic. Well, obviously the preacher's going to talk about that. You know, the saying is, little boy gets home from church, and mom and went to church with some friends, and mom and dad would kind of test him. Was he listening, playing like I was? And the mom or daddy once said, son, what was the message about? What did the preacher preach about? And he said, it was sin. They said, really? Sin? Said, well, what do you mean sin? He's against it. And see, that's oftentimes how our lives are. We know we need to focus on God's word, but follow this. David was right now focused on the Lord's word, and how he was able to do that is this. He got quiet, when anybody else around him, in his heart he was thinking, Lord, I just, what words do I have right now? I'm telling you what, God can use that time. It's a quiet time. It's a calming time. And what we find in this passage, in these two verses, we have, not was David focused on the Lord's word, but it was, listen, it was the Lord's word for his servant. He mentions there that David says, what words do I have? And then he makes that powerful second statement. Read it there with me. He says there in verse 20, Lord, you know your servant. So see, this is how we focus on the word. This is how we be reminded. See, there's a lot of the Bible that is available, and just God's calling out the lost, and he's judging the world, and he's talking all that information. But then there's personal words. There's a word that God has for his servants, for his children. And that's different. There's passages that you can't, that someone doesn't know the Lord and doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Those scriptures are for them. So what David is experiencing is he's got quiet, his mind's quieted down. He doesn't have really the words or even the thought to make the words. He's there before God, and all of a sudden, that's the point that God can really bend to teach him what it really means to focus on what the Lord has to say. I want you to turn with me. Hold your place here and go with me to Psalm 139. I mentioned last week that I'm almost ashamed about how much time and years I've lived in the Psalms. So Psalm 139, verse 1, as you find your way, how I love the Psalms. I'm going to say it again. The Psalms are God's songbook. And I thought of that this morning when I was rereading this passage. So think about how often a song touches your heart. That song, God bless, that always grabs my heart. Actually, we all have songs, not necessarily even Christian songs, that we hear on the radio. We connect it with the time in life. Something's going on. And just that message of the song. I had a roommate next door in college. I was living in Raleigh, and he was so caught up in music that when someone was going through something, he'd find a song for them. Scott, he'd send a song. So somebody was getting married, had a friend going through trouble. He had these songs that connected with him so much that's what he would do. He would send them the song, and back then it was probably on a cassette tape. Amen. I'll date myself. But so the Psalms are like the hymnal. It's like, I'm telling you, for at the point in my life when I began to focus more on his word like David is showing and get quiet before him, the Psalms have just been powerful. I can't tell you how many times at work that I would grab my little New Testament and I go literally in the bathroom. It might be too graphic for you. Go in the bathroom, get in there and just read and just get a word from God. I'm telling you, I challenge you. I've been like I said, kind of revived in my love for the Psalms, because I'm telling you, if you'll read in the Psalms, God has got a word. If you'll focus in the Psalms and focus like David did and get quiet for him, I'm telling you, you could probably hardly read any one of the Psalms of all of them that he's not going to be speaking to something that's going on in your life or that you're experiencing. So look in Psalm 139. I think Psalm 139 best describes what David's feeling. It best describes what we're seeing there in 2 Samuel, in that he's really focusing on God's word, and he really has a word for him, and it's personal. So read with me in Psalm 139. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Let's stop right there for a moment. So let's look. So David is teaching us that instead of focusing on our words, other words, being warned that a multitude of words can get us in trouble, hey, same thing in the world. Amen. Good gracious. Our world gets more caught up in all these words that are being said. I'm telling you, I every time I talk to a couple that's getting ready to get married, I tell them, I counsel them, I said, listen, if you'll spend as much time on your marriage as you do on sometimes the wedding or sometimes your work or sometimes all you do, if you'll spend time in communicating in your marriage how much better things would be. Do you know the two reasons, the two top reasons that marriage fail? Does anybody know what the two top reasons are that most marriages fail? Do you know the number one reason that marriages fail is communication? Communication. That's the number one reason. Just not communicate. Now, you might be talking. You might have a multitude of words going on, and lower, but that's not communicating. Amen? You know, if I'm mad at Sandra, and yes, I get mad at her, or she's mad at me, and yes, she gets mad at me. Amen? We're humans. We're a married couple. We've been married 28 years. When that happens, hey, I can let a multitude of words fly. And she's not receiving any of it. Amen? Same with her. We shut things out. And so what we find happening here is what David is trying to teach us, what we need to learn, is that in our relationship with him, just like in a marriage relationship, a friend relationship, a work relationship, communication is going to be key. You've got to understand. It's got to be back and forth. And David finally got quiet. How many times do you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you ask, you do all, and then you go on? Never taking any time to quiet for the Lord and let his spirit begin to speak to us. So in this Psalm 139, I want to give us just this morning some basics that you can claim, some promises that you can hold on to that can help us in that focus, okay? And once again, these are words, if you would, and it be even the psalm that David penned himself, these are words you could call God's word for his servant. Not God. These promises we have here aren't the general promises that somebody that doesn't have a relationship can claim. So let's dive right in. Look in verse 1. We looked at verse 23 where David asked him to search me last Sunday. But in verse 1, we have the really opposite where David is recognizing. He says, "Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." Now think about that for a moment. God Almighty, the ability to search me and know me, the ability to search every one of you and know you, the ability to, if there was a Panthers game going on today, if it was Panthers season and that stadium was full in Charlotte, that God has the ability that he can search and know, already has every person there, all over the world. Now that's a great God, amen? And to realize, now there's two pieces here. There's two pieces we're going to find as we go through Psalm 139. So remember, we're focusing on his word. What his word wants to speak to us right now, today, and every day moving forward. Well, listen to this. He searched me and known me. Oh, Sherry, wait a minute. That's not good. Because when he searches me and knows me, he's finding stuff that nobody knows. Amen? Stuff my family don't know. Stuff nobody knows I thought or had that idea or had that temptation or had that. No, Cam, nobody. So God is about searching, God's knowing. So on first reading of that, I begin that humbling. You can understand David's penning those words. That's how David got to the point where he got quiet and said, "Lord, what words do I have?" Man, God has really got his attention. And so God wants to get our attention this morning in every moment. In every morning, in every moment, because he's saying, "Listen, I'm searching you, and I know it all." But y'all, there's a second part to that. That what God is saying is when God looks down, and he searches me and you, and he knows us, that he looks at us, listen, he loves us. Think about that. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That so loved the world, listen, that murderer, that worst vile offender in prison, the worst of the worst, God searches, knows all that's gone, and God still searching in that heart like that, knows it, still loves it, and is still calling out, if that heart will just give over to him, that he can save that soul. Do you realize it takes the same death of Christ, the same blood, it takes the same salvation for you and I? I got saved when I was 10 years old in church. But it required that same blood of Jesus to save me that saved the vile sinner. See, we don't like to think that. We want to keep thinking like our flesh feels good to think. There's good and bad, and there's bad people. And God sitting there is searching all of us, knowing all about us. And when he finds us, listen, when God searches this morning, and he knows me and you, and he knows all about us, what he says is, "I love you, but I love you too much to leave you there. And listen, it doesn't matter how close you are to God. You may be closer to God than you've ever been before. You may be farther away from God than you've ever been before. But God says, listen, I love you, but I love you too much to let you stay there. And the reason often that we don't experience that transforming power that God wants to, and we're so conformed to this world, is we don't do what, we don't follow David's example. We have to take that time and focus on what God is searching and what God is knowing. It's one of the greatest dangers of social media and the internet and just TV and radio and all this stuff that's bombarding at us. There's all this searching going on, amen? There's all this searching and there's all this knowing of all this information. And when God is the original person, hey, Google didn't come up with the idea of searching, amen? God in his word says, hey, I am the searcher, I am the knower, and what I'm calling each of us to do as his children, you're to be searchers and knowers of his word, of his way, and of his plans. So how practical it is. And I say it again, I'm riding down the road, and my wife says, hey, look at this, you know, and I'm like, hey, let me look at that, you know. So all those things are getting our attention, amen? All those things are drawing us away from what God wants us to be searching and wants us to be knowing. I pray all of us be convicted by this verse. I pray this Psalm 139:1 will jump off the page. Every time we go to the internet or you go to check your social media, say, listen, how many times have I spent searching out the things that God wants me to search and knowing what God wants me to know about? Amen? That's what he's saying. So in verse 2, oh, I love verse 2. And verse 2 kind of rang through my mind all throughout this week. Look what it says. 139 verse 2, he says, thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. So David's focused on the Lord, and he says, wait a minute, God knows my downsitting and my uprising. And there's several pictures there, but the picture is, you know, God knows when I just, man, I'm down. Man, I'm just tired. You come home and you sit down. You get in your vehicle after work, and you're just tired. You're down. You're stressed. You're overwhelmed. Panic and out. You're just down. And David's reminding us, but God knows my down city. God knows when I'm down. God knows. But then he said on the same side, God knows my uprising. He knows those things that allow me to get up and get excited. And I'm telling y'all, it's crazy. We live in a world. Listen, I mentioned the Panthers game, and my son is the ultimate sports fan and knowledge and information, and he has a lot of sports ability. He got all mine. I didn't gift him with any myself, but all this stuff with sports can be wonderful in its way. And in fact, one wonderful thing about sports could be if we get an idea of that same spirit sometimes that will drive someone to be so up and uprising, excited about a sport team, is, hey, listen, that Jesus Christ would say, be that about me. Be that excited about me. I mean, watch a football game. People will set out. Look at the Green Bay Packers. Then people will set out there in sub-zero temperatures. It can be snowing. And some of those diehard fans are out there, and they're going to sit there. For how long is a football game, Hilton, on average? Thank you, sir. For 3.5 hours. And some people get nervous in church, you know, when it's approaching 12 and the preacher ain't done. Uprising. See, and I really believe that God gifts us with personality and things, that some of the things that excite you, that get you up, that just are part of you, that what God is saying is translate that into letting that be connected. Let me use that in how you serve me and minister to you. Let's go on to verse 3. Oh, look at this, y'all. David is focusing on God, focusing on his word, and he pens these words. He says, thou compass my path and my lying down are acquainted with all my ways. Thank you, Lord. What he's saying here is in this verse, he's saying, listen, God, you're around me. You're around, so wherever my path takes me. And you know, how often, David, you go a lot of paths. A lot of your customers determine the path you go. You wouldn't necessarily be going to a certain area, do a certain thing, if you weren't being paid to carry a load there, right? And so sometimes I'm sure that you have to go places that you just soon not go to. Amen? I worked for my uncle. I had to deliver eggs in Charlotte. We went to some rough sections of town, Ray, and I didn't want to go in those sections. But what the Bible is saying, when our path takes us in areas where we're scared and we're not comfortable with and where it's work, where it is, he's around us. He's making us feel our presence. Now, it goes a step further. What that says is, if I make wrong choices and I'm walking away from God and I'm on the wrong path, it doesn't specify, listen, it doesn't specify this path. It doesn't say, look at the words. It says my path. It doesn't say we're on his path. It's not saying we just got to be on his path for him to be around us. But listen, I get off track. I'm going the wrong way. I'm on the wrong path. God is still there. He's surrounding me, ready to protect me and help me. It says that what he wants to do is, he says, and you're with my lying down. So, man, I tell you, why is it sometimes darkness? We can hear things at night and we can fear things at night. And God is saying, hey, I'm there. I'm accomplished. He said, listen, end of verse 3, and I'm acquainted with all my ways. He knows it all, but he still is there with me. Look in verse 4. Oh, gosh. Now, this one kept ringing in my ear this week. Y'all, look at verse 4. It says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Now, think about that for a moment. In my tongue. Let me tell you one simple application of that is. If God knows every word in my tongue, there's some words that are in my tongue, and you're not going to hear them until what happens? Until they leave my tongue and come out my mouth. So what God is saying is, he knows every word. Now, obviously, he knows every word, but not only every word that we say for him and not for him, but he's saying, I know every word on your tongue. And I'm telling you what, that's what focusing on his word and getting a focus and being able to hear his voice is, listen, that we prevent and we say, listen, God, okay, God, you know the word on my tongue. And you know how sometimes those words lash out in certain circumstances. Think, God, help me be reminded that you know every word on my tongue, and that what you're going to do is, as you know it, you're going to help me with those words before they come out. Amen? He says in verse 5 that you're behind me, you're before me, you've put, and look at the end of verse 5, he says, you've laid your hand upon me. See, most all of these have two meanings. It's kind of like this picture here. You know, I'm glad to know that when I'm sick or having trouble or don't know what to do, that God's got his hand on me. Feel his hand, feel his presence. But also to know that if I turn away and I sin and I let those words out of my tongue and I make those wrong choices, that God is saying, see, hey, you're still my servant. You still belong to me. I've still got my hand upon you. And look in verse 6. What I love about, here's what God's word does. Look in verse 6. David gets overwhelmed again, just like he did in 2 Samuel. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot. So David has got quiet for God. He's thinking about all this stuff, and he says, hey, this is, can I ask you a question? When's the last time that you got alone with God and you got overwhelmed by his word and who he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do in a way that we would say, man, this is just too wonderful for me. Y'all read those words again. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. That's the kind of life that's what God wants us on our mind. And we're bombarded by so much information and so much knowledge that is not wonderful. Amen? And it's filling our minds, and so we don't have these moments, and that's what David begins to see. It's all about where we're focusing, amen? He says in verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? He paints a picture saying, and this is not in the literal sense, but what he's saying, if I ascend into heaven, thou art with me. I'm walking close. I'm on that path. I'm with you, and God, I feel your presence. But it says in verse 8, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I've slept in the bed in hell a few times, amen? Amen? Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all are some of the holy people in the world. What God is saying is, I'm with you. I'm with you right there. I'm with you. So as I look at this more, I'm reminded of what God should be an overwhelming God. If I would each morning and preoccupied during the day, if I would just pause long enough and let him search me or be reminded he searched and be like David and be overwhelmed with his wonder, man, I tell you, I think I'd be a better father, be a better husband, be a better friend, be a better brother, better pastor. Because too often we spend all of our time in this way. It's not the wonderful presence of God that's overwhelmed us, but it's everything else. Amen? It's everything else. And so, look in verse 10, and we're done. Verse 10 of Psalm 139. Well, let's begin. I left out verse 9. Verse 9 says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. It's a picture of just being scattered. Think of your life, your mind, your circumstances. He says in verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Look at that. Thy hand lead me. Thy right hand hold me. So what David found when he got quiet before God, y'all, this is a beautiful picture. He's saying, you know, God, I don't see how I'm going to get out of this. God, I don't know what to do. God, I got some regrets. And God, it looks pretty bad right now. And God says from heaven, that's all I wanted you to say. It's all I wanted you to get quiet. I just wanted you to focus on long enough, because he says, what I want to tell you is that I'll take my hand, the very hand of God, and I'll lead you. So we need that in the worst of days. Lord, lead me out of this. And then we need it in the best of ways. Lord, let not pride, and let me not get satisfied and complacent. God, lead me. But I think as much as we want the leading hand of God, God, get me out of trouble, get me out of this bad situation, lead me on even higher with you. It's when he says his right hand, that right hand of power, he says he'll hold me. You know, y'all know what I'm talking. There's nothing better than having somebody that loves you hold you. Whether it's in the worst of situations. I remember my grandfather died. I was close to him. He died in Durham in the hospital. Been there 30 days. I was at my grandmother's house and not seen my dad. My dad got out of the car and he came. My dad isn't a very tough, rugged guy. Didn't talk, but there, right outside the door at the sidewalk, man, we grabbed a hold of one another. And, you know, I was wanting to hold him in his sorrow, but he was holding me in my sorrow. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget at a high point, graduating, friends hugging in the hallway before you left. Might I never see it. Somebody I never did ever see again. Yeah. Mom or dad, somebody proud of you. You've done something good. And they hold on to you. You know, that's who God says he is. In the worst of days and in the best of days, so I'm going to hold you. See, that's at night when you're alone, with your past and with your present. He says, I'll lead you on through tomorrow. You know, a lot of times what God does is God's like, it's what David found out. It's kind of moment by moment, hour by hour. He says, I'm going to lead you, but right now I'll just hold you. Right now I'll just hold you. Would you bow with me every head by every close? See, God's hand, he's wanting to lead somebody to a saving knowledge of him today. Maybe that's you. He's wanting to lead you on through that problem, that next step. He's wanting to hold you. And I'm just telling you, there's no better place I've experienced than on my knees. And it doesn't have to be on the knees at church. He does it many other places, but it is special. And I pray that maybe that's where you find yourself. You just need Jesus. And would you, as he leads you down, would you allow me to lead you to him? But maybe you just need to come. And you really have gotten quiet this morning. And you really want his hand to lead you through everything that he's got planned and where you're at now. But maybe you just need to come to the altar very humbly and claim the promise that he wants to hold you. He wants to hold you this morning right where you're at. And then he'll lead you down. Whatever the need is, would you come? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Jessica. Could have heard that last statement of that song. I come desperate, I come empty. That's what David experienced. He was on a high. I'm going to do something for God. God said no. And y'all, we experience that daily. Amen. We think we got it. God wants us just to be desperate and empty and let him fill us. Man, I'm thankful for that. Just a little change. Actually, the next two Sunday nights,